Hey, 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 Soul Tribe. Welcome back. This is episode 1.12 of Beyond Deconstructing. I am T. Jamaica Pogue, affectionately known as Deconstructing Euro, and I am so appreciative for all of your patience and support over the last nearly 3 months. If you know, you know. I'm not going to go into it too much further, but there have been a lot of transitions over the last few months, and I really appreciate you guys bearing with me while I take the much needed time to get myself together, gather my thoughts, and get refocused. Which brings us to today. This is the first episode of the second half of the first season. That's a mouthful. But yes, we're kicking off the second half of the first season of Beyond Deconstructing. And I am really excited for this conversation. Today's guest is Mr. Doug Bletcher. He is the founder of Autism Personal Coach, as well as the host of his own podcast, Autism Stories. And that's actually how I met Doug, when he reached out to me to be on an episode of Autism Stories. And I enjoyed our conversation so much that I extended an invitation to him immediately to join me on an episode of Beyond Deconstructing. And I genuinely enjoy speaking with Doug. We talk about autistic joy and showing up authentically as ourselves in this world. We also touch on intersectionality and just a lot of the things that I am passionate about shining a light on. He's already been doing with the work that he does with Autism Stories, as well as a few other projects that he's in. So I'm not going to belabor the introduction. I'm going to let him explain it, and I'm going to turn it over to my time talking to Doug. And stick around. After this episode, I have a few announcements, a little bit of housekeeping and updates on the future of Beyond Deconstructing, as well as a few of my other projects. But for now, I'm going to turn it over to my time with Doug. Thank you guys so much for coming back to another episode of Beyond Deconstructing. I am super excited for today's guest. I have Mr. Doug Bletcher here. He is the host of his own podcast, Autism Stories, and I had the honor of being a guest on that. And I extended an invite to have him come on and share his story with my audience. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Doug, to introduce yourself and let everyone know who you are.
Well, the honor was all mine, T, to interview you on Autism Stories, and I'm honored to be here. So I am the founder of Autism Personal Coach. So we are just, this will be our 10th year of existence, actually, starting next week. So we provide coaching to autistic teens and adults, and a large number of our coaches are autistic themselves. And through that, through Autism Personal Coach, that kind of led me to starting my own podcast, Autism Stories. And at first, I was just wanted to talk to people about autism. And then quickly, probably within like the first 6 or 7 episodes, I realized I only want to talk to autistic people about autism. So we're over about 200 episodes in, and I love every minute of it. It's led me to also co-host 2 other podcasts where we talk to autistic people. I co-host with Becca Laurie Hector. She's an autistic woman, and we host a podcast called The Info Dump Files, and where we talk to other autistic people about their interests and the things they love. And so I really love that. And then I also host a podcast I'm really passionate about called Intersections on the Spectrum, which we talk with a lot of autistic people that, you know, when you're autistic, that's a marginalized identity. But a lot of times people have other marginalized identities. So we talk with a lot of autistic people of color, a lot of autistic people from other cultures, a lot of autistic people with LGBTQ identities. So that's really important to me. And my co-host is an autistic woman of color, the phenomenal Kelly Braun Johnson. And we interview people. You know, we're going to be moving into our third season coming up.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, Doug. Now, I have to admit, I was familiar with Autism Stories, but I didn't know that you had two other podcasts. I would love to hear a little bit more about both of them because they sound well, firstly, I like that they're a little bit separate, right? Because from what I got so far with Autism Stories, I understand you use that platform to really highlight the lived experience of other autistic people. But with your one more geared toward info dumping, that is a part of like a very essential part of the way autistic people communicate. And then the one that focuses on intersectionality, I know you and I have spoken about that previously. I think that is a very important aspect. So I would love to hear a little bit more about both of your other podcasts, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, so the info dump files is just because me and my co-host Becca, we always talk. It's really important to for us to just kind of have fun. And I think a big part of the autistic experience is focusing on the things that we're passionate about and the things that we love. And I think so often with autism, we're always focusing on the things that are difficult for us, focusing on the challenges. And so the Info Dump Files is really an opportunity to talk to people about like the things that they that really like grabs them and so things like that. And we've talked to autistic people that typically might be sometimes people that have been on like a lot of podcasts are pretty well known. And a lot of times they're talking about their serious projects or platforms, but this is an opportunity to talk to them about like things away from those platforms and just things that they fun have fun and have joy. And one of the questions we always ask, it's the last question every episode, is what does autistic joy mean to you? And hopefully the Info Dump Files is an opportunity for people to share their autistic joy because it's so much fun to me hearing about other people's autistic joy. And then intersections on the spectrum to me is so critical. So I look at myself, in the last couple of years, I've learned that I'm autistic. And even though that's a marginalized identity living in the world that we live in, I still look at myself as a privileged individual. The world sees me as a white individual. The world sees me as male. The world sees me, able-bodied. All of these types of things are privileges. Like, I think we all have privileges, but I think are us that are more privileged, like myself, I think I've always had felt this huge responsibility to, with my privilege to, whatever my privileges are, to help other people in other ways. And I see those that are less privileged not having the same opportunities that I've had. And I remember being about 8 years old and having, friends that were people of color. And that was the first time I realized, like, wait a second, they're being treated differently than me. And why is that? And it's always really, really, really bothered me. And I've always hopefully tried to do things to change that in some way. So it's always a work in progress, but that's where intersections on the spectrum comes from. And and we highlight a lot of people's stories that haven't been highlighted and absolutely should be.
That is amazing. I love that. I definitely have to check them both out because I loved everything that you said about both of those, especially when it comes to info dumping and autistic joy. Personally, that's one of my favorite parts about interacting with fellow autistic people is even if it is, and this is in full candor, even if they're talking about a subject that I particularly am not interested in, seeing how excited they get about it makes me excited because it's like, oh, it's so pure to see someone just like genuinely love something and share it and be safe enough or feel like you're a safe enough person to genuinely express how much they love that. And I think that's a great space that you guys are creating.
Yeah. And I think that's the key thing word they use is safety, because so often we don't feel safe sharing those, you know, those passions, because they've been kind of like pushed down, like we've been told not to, or that's not, or that's stupid, or that's not age appropriate. And, you
Yeah.
know, so, you know, all those types of things.
Yeah, definitely a lot of shame that we need to shake free from. And then also intersections on the spectrum. I definitely want to get into that a little bit more once we kind of talk about deconstructing neurodivergence. But before I kind of forget, because I also have ADHD, you started to talk on your or touch on your journey being kind of recent with discovering you are autistic. So could you please describe your journey with discovering your neurodivergence and your autism in particular?
Yeah, in some ways it's a very common journey. In other ways, I think it's somewhat unique in the sense that for 20 plus years now, I've been supporting autistic people. And throughout these last, well, for the out these last 20 years or so, you know, fairly commonly, you know, someone that I'm supporting might say, "Hey, Doug, are you autistic?" And my response, well, up to the last couple of years, was, "As far as I know, I'm not." But I always looked at it as like, wow, like I felt honored that they would, you know, feel like like we were connected in a way that they thought, you know, that I could be autistic. So a couple of years ago, I started to think more and more about it. And so I just went online one day, and this is kind of where I think it's kind of a common experience, where I just took like an autism assessment online. And so I took the assessment, and I was very surprised by the result, because it said, it's so funny thinking back on it, because it said, "Oh, you're very likely autistic." And I was like, wow, okay, all right, this is interesting. So then I took another assessment, and excuse me, it said, you're probably autistic as well. And then I took an alexithymia assessment, and it said you're most likely alexithymic. So I at that point kind of realized I knew I was autistic. I've always felt that self-assessment is as valid as professional assessment. So for a while, I didn't even try to pursue professional assessment, because I thought, I think at the time I was 42, I'm now 44. I thought, I'm 42 years old. I think I pretty much know how my brain works. I don't necessarily need someone else to tell me. And I know through our, you know, providing coaching to our clients, like their experiences with assessments and how oftentimes the assessors, you know, quite frankly, don't know what they're talking about. So I kind of thought like, now I'm good. I don't need a professional assessment. And then I don't, then I guess I started to have maybe a little bit of imposter syndrome, maybe a lot of it. And so I thought, well, maybe I should start looking into a professional assessment. So I started looking into it, and then you know, all the barriers that I had heard from other autistic people started happening to me. The cost of these assessments, 2,000 or more. I'm like, I don't think so. You know, maybe I could, but then it my bills might get a little tight. So is that worth it? And I decided no. And then even when, you know, when I was able to find a couple of assessments under $1,000, you know, the assessments that were being used, I did not feel comfortable at all. Like things like the ADOS. You know, I feel like assessments that are used to assess children to be autistic, that doesn't make sense in my logical autistic brain that you would use the same assessments for a 42-year-old person. So I just kind of was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Maybe one day, the universe is going to conspire with me, and I'm going to find an assessor that provides assessments that I feel comfortable with, and then the cost will be a little bit lower. And I found that, and I found an assessor. The assessment was like $500, which comparatively is pretty low. And the assessor gave me assessments that I felt comfortable with after we did a Zoom call, and they explained the assessments. I guess one other piece of this is my entire assessment was on Zoom, and I don't know if I would have been professionally assessed if it was in person. That might have been too overwhelming for me.
And so you have been officially diagnosed with autism after being self-diagnosed.
Yeah, in the last year. And then I recently wrote an article for Autism Spectrum News about it in the context of being an autistic entrepreneur and honoring my limitations in that role.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much. I always like to thank people when they share their journey because even though you started off saying that it's not that it's kind of common, it kind of isn't, because even though we all share a little bit of a theme, we're all different and individuals, and there's always going to be some aspects of it that makes it our unique story. So thank you so much for sharing that. And you actually brought up a really good point where you were talking about the kind of assessments that some of the previous assessors were looking to use for you are aimed toward children. And I think you made a good point. When you are a later diagnosed autistic, you usually have a lot of experience with masking. And so it's going to be a lot more difficult to see or to assess an adult the same way you would with a child who hasn't yet quite learned how to fake it. So I kind of wanted to know if you could describe your journey now with understanding that you are autistic with masking and unmasking. And I know you also touched on being someone with, a lot of privilege in this society. So I know that that also impacts the need and the extent to which you would mask. So I know that's a loaded question, but overall, just asking you to touch on your understanding of masking and now unmasking.
Yeah, I mean, I've masked so much through my life that it's been hard to uncover who am I when I'm not masking. So that's definitely been something. I think something that's been really helpful to me is when I learned I was autistic, I started to see an autistic therapist for the purpose of I wanted to kind of like fit kind of like break down like w you know what you know what does unmasking look like for me, when and where do I feel safe doing it. And I think one of the big things for me is honoring my limitations and figuring out, with my autistic identity, like how to honor myself in regards to that. And I think a piece of masking that actually came up in the assessment process, another barrier that I found was that, sorry to go back to the last question, but it reminded me, was that a lot of these assessments, they require a parent or caregiver to like fill out like an assessment of you as well. And I didn't feel comfortable with that because I've masked so much my entire life that my family doesn't know who I am within the context of my autistic identity. So I felt like that's not information that would be helpful to any assessment. But yeah, getting back to unmasking, a lot of my passions or special interests, I would hide those from other people. I think that was a part of masking. I probably lied more than I wanted to as a result of masking, just because it's very difficult to process spoken communication in the moment, like especially like questions I'm not prepared for, and you know, it's kind of like our society forces you to answer then and there. And I wouldn't necessarily like pause and reflect. And I would probably, and sometimes I would answer questions that were not 100% truthful. Still something I'm working through today. And hopefully in the future, I will continue to do less and less of that. It doesn't feel good. I think all types of masking. I think one of the reasons I became an entrepreneur looking back is probably when you do that, you have to mask, you get to unmask a little bit more as a result. So yeah, there's so many aspects of masking that, thinking about my sensory needs, like I definitely wouldn't take those into account and was just kind of like masking my way through things, or, you know, the whole idea of productivity and just kind of pushing myself through and masking myself through, you know, working like a crazy man. So, you know, all those types of things kind of come to mind. And I've been slowly changing each one of those things. And I'm sure I'll continue to mask in some forms. I don't know how I couldn't living in this world. But yeah, I'm definitely, you know, with privilege, I have the opportunity to unmask. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think, I had a question, because when you were kind of describing your experience, you said you worked with autistic children for about 20 years. Do you think that masking played a role in you working with fellow autistic people for so long and not realizing it in yourself?
Well, I worked with kids for about eight to 9 years and then transitioned to supporting adults. So in college, I studied psychology because I wanted to kind of like know what was different about my brain.
Same.
So it's funny to kind of like think back to that. And it's like, yeah, it was obvious all along. Looking back, like I'm so autistic. I'm so focused on routine and things like that. I mean, it's just so funny how autistic I am. It's a really good question. I think the kids that I worked with initially had higher support needs on a more consistent basis than I did. So certainly that was a factor and maybe not realizing sooner. The education about autism, was certainly quite different than it was, now than 20 years ago. So that was a factor. You know, certainly media plays a big factor. And even though we've come a long way with autistic characters, a long, long way to go in media, there was not portrayals of anyone that had experiences like me. So it was kind of like, how would I have known back then? I think probably looking back, there were even those with high support needs and those that I meet that are folks that are, you know, autistic folks that are speaking or not, you know, or non-speaking, I always definitely have a lot of similarities to them. So yeah, I probably should have been more aware, but it took a long time.
Yeah, could definitely understand that. And you actually bring up a perfect point to kind of segue to the big question, or the thing that I think really helps to intersect a lot of what we do, both with Beyond Deconstructing and Autism Stories, is that representation, right? And that also brings in intersections on the spectrum as well, because Personally, that's part of the reason why I didn't really understand that I was autistic until recently as well. I was a psych major, so I had a very, limited understanding of autism based on how it's described in DSM-5 and the couple of times we touch on it in abnormal psychology and developmental psychology. But other than that, there isn't anything, really there that helps you to understand it fully. And then when it comes to the media, there are very few overtly autistic characters. Most of them are coded autistic, and even when they are rarely women or people of color. And I think that that is really important that projects like yours and Deconstructing Neurodivergence highlights the stories of people who look different than what we consider the face of autism.
It's so critical. I mean, if we're not taking those intersections into account, how are we ever going to understand autism and neurodiversity as a whole? Like, I just don't, and none of us are ever one thing. We're never just one identity anyway. We all have so many different identities. And if we're just looking at autism, then we're basing that on probably the medical model. And I don't believe at all in the medical model. My father's a doctor, my uncle's a doctor, my cousin's a doctor. I don't believe in the medical model. Because I think it just focuses strictly on autism. Like we're starting to finally get a minuscule amount of research on intersectionality, and autism. Like there's just so many different intersections. So how are we ever going to understand about the autistic experience? I still feel like we know so little, even though we've learned so much. And how are we ever going to understand those experiences if we're not listening? And I feel like there's too many white autistics that don't listen to the experiences of autistic people of color. Listen, so I think if we're not doing those things, then we're getting defensive and we're becoming judgmental as a result, then I think we're not doing our community, I think we're doing our community a huge disservice.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Especially because it's because of those stereotypes that we all hold that are painted from an holistic view, an outsider view of what we are, that a lot of us have gone undiagnosed for so long. Or we kind of even have a lot of internalized ableism where we're like, well, I'm not that kind of person, so I can't be autistic, but not realizing that that's a very one-dimensional, way of seeing autism. And it really truly is a spectrum, not to be corny, but it's called a spectrum for a reason, but not just how the severity of our different characteristics present, but the spectrum of people. We are just as diverse as people who are not autistic. And I think that is the biggest and most important thing to highlight is that there is no face of autism. There's no one way that it looks. I think personally, this is a little side note. I think that that's starting to scare a few people, because they're starting to see that autism is a lot more common than they thought. And some people that they like or know are, or they're resonating with it, and it scares them. And then that's when we get the people that are like, well, no, self-diagnosis isn't valid. You can't, we got to gatekeep autism because everybody can't be autistic. And it's like, I don't know. Do you really feel that way? Or are you just scared because you're starting to resonate with a lot of what we're saying?
Or it's resonating with an experience, a personal experience that they can relate to, and they don't want to travel down that road for whatever reason. I feel like for me, learning that I'm autistic is just a continuous journey of self-growth for me. And if you are denying that aspect of your brain and how your brain works, I think you're, how can you grow as a human?
That's a great point. Yeah. I totally agree. I love that you said that. This has been an integral part of my personal self-growth as well. Just the more I understand my brain, and I know it's very controversial, and I don't like to use the puzzle piece analogy too much, but it is a great analogy. For me, it was the missing puzzle piece for me to answer a lot of questions about why I failed so much socially and why I always kind of felt like I just didn't get it. And yeah, I think that some people just aren't ready to face that. And that's not to say that everybody's autistic, because I hate that, stereotype, but more people could resonate and understand that we're just people. It's kind of like, don't get mad that you resonate with a fellow human being. You know, it's just that we happen to be autistic.
So.
Absolutely. So, Doug, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience. Before you go, what I always like to do is give everyone an opportunity to say any kind of final words, like if there's a message you want to get out there, or just words of encouragement. And then also make sure you let everyone know where to find you and all of your projects.
Well, keep listening to this podcast, number one. And also, seek out, if you're autistic, seek out autistic people that might have different experiences with you. Seek out autistic people of color. Seek out autistic people from different cultures. Seek out autistic people, if you don't have an LGBTQ identity, seek out people with LGBTQ identities, and seek out non-speaking autistics if you're speaking. And always try to use your privilege to help people that might not have that privilege. Those are things that I would like to say. Beyond that, you can learn about Autism Personal Coach by going to autismpersonalcoach.com. You can also find the Autism Stories podcast on there and the info dump files. So there's a lot of free stuff on there that you can check out. And then if you're interested in intersections on the spectrum, you can go to intersectionsonthespectrum.com to check out the first two seasons of that podcast. And season three is hopefully out of its way very soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Doug. I'm going to make sure I leave the links to all of your projects in the description. I thank you so much for coming on. And again, I thank you for your candor and for everything that you do. If you want to learn more about Autism Stories and Autism Personal Coach, make sure you show Doug some love. And thank all of you guys for coming back and spending a little bit of time with me today. I want to thank you guys again for stopping by and spending a little bit of time with me today. I really hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. Make sure you're showing Doug love on all his social media. I'm going to make sure that I leave links to his projects and to his social media pages in the description. And again, thank you guys so much for bearing with me. So, few announcements on the future of Beyond Deconstructing. For the foreseeable future, I'm moving to a bi-weekly format. So every other Monday, you guys are going to get new content for Beyond Deconstructing. But that doesn't mean that in the weeks in between, you guys won't hear from me. If you didn't know already, I do have a vlog series called Untethered, and that will be released every other Thursday. So any week that the podcast is not out, or if there's no new episode of the podcast, there will be a new episode of the vlog, and vice versa. So you'll still get weekly content from me. You just won't be getting two different kinds of content during the week. But you can always follow me on social media to keep up with me on a more regular basis, as well as join the community and the conversations. I will be going live on TikTok more often. I don't think I've gone live in probably like a few months, but I plan on going live a little bit more often because I do want to interact with the community and really have open conversations beyond deconstructing, and kind of open up these conversations to more people and have interaction in real time. So all of those things, you can keep up with me at deconstructing.neuro on TikTok and Instagram, and on Twitter it is decon underscore neuro. And always, you can check out my website, www.tjamaicapogue.com. There you'll have an opportunity to see videos and behind-the-scenes pictures from my different projects and adventures and trips. And, you know, just find ways that you can support me and stay in contact with me. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. And I hope you guys have a great, wonderful week. I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, but whenever you listen to it, I hope that it brought you a little bit of levity and a little bit of joy. And I will see you here next time.